Now at verse 14 through 30, we have the cleansing of the priests and Aaron by the blood of the offerings. I'm reading verse 14. And he brought the bullock for the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the bullock for the sin offering. Now the bullock was the sin offering for the high priest, but now the four sons of Aaron claim it also. Their sins are transferred to the victim. That is understood by the laying on of the hands. And God wrote indelibly in their souls and burned it into their hearts that they were sinners, though they were in the service of God. And you will find that as you go through the Word of God, that God's men have always been conscious that they're sinners. I think that probably one of the greatest statements I ever heard was that is reported to have been made by Tholuck, the great university professor in Germany at Halle University. And this man, on his 80th birthday, and I think he'd been teaching over 50, they asked him what he was most thankful for. And he said, I'm most thankful for the consciousness and conviction of sin. I wish we had more today that were very conscious of their shortcomings and sins. God could use us if we had that. Now in Psalm 40:12, let me read. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Do you feel like you're that kind of a sinner, friends? Well, he can do something for you if you are like that. After all, if you don't get sick enough to go to the doctor, you won't go to him. And if you are not sure you're a real sinner, and I mean a mean one, you're not apt to go to Christ. And then in Psalm 38:4 I read, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. And friends, when you got a load that's too heavy for you, you try to find somebody else to carry it for you. And there is someone. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll rest you. I'll take your burden. And then in Psalm 69:5, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. You're not kidding him, and you're not fooling him, and he knows all about you. You just well tell him, don't you think? In verse 15, we're told he slew it. That is the bullock for the sin offering. Moses took the blood, put it upon the horns of the altar round about with his finger, and purified the altar, poured the blood at the bottom of the altar, sanctified it to make reconciliation upon it. He took all of the fat that was upon the inwards, the caul out above the liver, the two kidneys and their fat, and Moses burned it upon the altar, but the bullock and his hide, his flesh and his dung, he burnt with fire without the camp as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, I read all that and read it rather hurriedly, as you see, just to let you know something of this ritual that until you see the spiritual side is absolutely meaningless. You see, they follow the ritual of the sin offering, with the exception that the blood is put on the horns of the brazen altar rather than at the golden altar, which we saw back when we considered the sin offering. You see, even the altar which is used for the bloody sacrifices must be dedicated with blood. Why? Well, that's to remind you and me, friends, there's no merit in the cross. We got a lot of folk today, and both Catholic and Protestant, for that matter, there's no distinction here, that think somehow or another if you put up a cross at a church or put up a cross somewhere that it has some sort of merit. They've had a great lawsuit up in Oregon. And I frankly think that they infringed on religious liberty up there when they made them take that cross down. Great cross that looked over the city. Well, very candidly, I guess the unsaved doesn't like to look at it. But let's be very frank. There's no merit in a cross, after all. The merit is in the one who died on that cross. He was made sin, yet he was separate from sinners. And this little act reveals that. Now we go ahead here at verse 18, and I'm not going to read all this because we are actually going through the ritual now of the burnt offering, and we've had that before. And this can become a little boring, by the way. Now, the burnt offering followed the sin offering. And it's impossible to comprehend the beauties and merits of Christ until the sin question is dealt with in a manner that's satisfactory to God. You'll notice, by the way, that this sin offering offered first, then the burnt offering. The sin offering represents what Christ did for us on the cross. Then the burnt offering, who he is. And you can never really know him until you've come to him first as Savior. And you've accepted him as your substitute for sin. That he paid the penalty for your sin. That's very important to see. Actually, that's what fellowship means in the New Testament, means to share the things of Christ, and only those who are blood-bought believers can share the things of Christ, friends. After all, the priests had to go inside the holy place to see the beauties of that place. Outside, it wasn't very pretty, and the unbelieving world can blaspheme Christ, pass him by, but the child of God is finding new beauties and glories in him every day.